What is it okay to react to and overreact to? As we welcome Sam Levitt onto the program, in-season Sammy, joining us every Monday during Padres season. Hello, Sam.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good morning. Happy Monday to you, my friend.
People get mad if I say it's early, and I understand why. Every game is important. But there were also some people, Sam, who after one inning decided Matt Waldron should be nowhere near the Padres' starting rotation.
Correct.
And after that one inning, he's actually pitched quite well, and I'm certain he's earned himself at least another start in that fifth spot when it comes around again against the Dodgers this weekend. So overreact, underreact, you know, where do you kind of lie on this, and what have you been hearing from Padres fans?
Well, I think as far as some elements of what we've seen so far, there has been probably a little bit of overreaction. I mean, you're right on the Waldron thing, right? I mean, one inning does not make a season, does not make a starting pitcher's open to the season. And obviously one of the bright spots, based on what we saw the first time through the rotation, the second time through was terrific from these starters. Unfortunately, the Padres only won two of those games. So it is easy to overreact to individual game by game performances, whether that's offensively or pitching wise. But this is a bit of a different situation when you look at the macro for this team. And I think in particular offensively, and I totally understand, and I listened to the first couple hours of the show this morning, I totally understand your guys' frustration, the fans' frustration, because while there have been some moments that have made you believe and think that this is a different year than 2023, there have also been a number of things that have 2023 creeping in your mind. And yeah. I said it on the post game yesterday, you know, you could have taken yesterday's game out of 2023's book directly, right? Rip the page out, put it on the table and said, yep, that's one of those games in San Francisco from 2023. And that's whether it was miscues late to lose the game, whether that was just a ton of missed opportunities offensively. And I think, unfortunately, for this group, which is led by the same stars, the same core group as it was a year ago, subtracted of Juan Soto and I guess Blake Snell and Josh Hader as well, but the same core group of guys, look, unfortunately, they're really, I think, from the fan base, from what I hear, from what you guys hear, I don't think there's a ton of benefit of the doubt, right? And I think something we talked about during the offseason, during spring training, is how important it was to get off to a good start. Now, you talk about overreaction, underreaction. Look, a start to me is not 12 games in a baseball season, right? You got to get through a month. You got to get through, let's say, 25, 30 games. That's really the early part of the season. And quite frankly, this team could rattle off a few wins in a row and you feel way better about where they're at. But, you know, this team is dealing with kind of that ghost of 23 almost, right? Of what transpired last year on the field, the disappointment of it, and looking for signs and indications that this group, this season's a little bit different. And admittedly, the last six games or so, what we've seen offensively and just the way they've lost some of these games, yesterday certainly included, it makes you remember what happened last year to the Padres. So I understand it, that you want to try to get as far away from last season as you possibly can. And unfortunately, the start so far, I don't think has really done that. Of course, a start is not necessarily 12 games. But to this point, I think there's been some memories of last year, and that was something I think we were all hoping to avoid at this point.
And is that fair? No, it's not. It's absolutely not fair. But it is absolutely going to happen, and they know
right.
that. And you do wonder, when you talk to any big leaguer, former big leaguer, like, nah, last year was last year. This year is this year. Okay, fine. Prove it, right? Like, prove it. I understand. It's, you don't judge me for the guy I was when I was 21, because I'm a different guy entirely, right? But you know, you're looking at the, like you said, it's the same guys. And, you know, when I texted my friend the other day, I said, these guys, they're like avoiding being clutch at all times. He said, well, it's early. I said, but it's the same guys, you know, and like at some point you do wonder, what do you think, Sammy, about the consistency so far of Mike Schilt? Again, I brought up the round table. I brought up Tony Gwynn Jr., former player, grew up obviously in the game, and he loves the consistency. I think I do too. But at what point does it become the definition of insanity, expecting different results, you know, doing the same thing?
Well, I think there's a few thoughts on that. I think, number one, right, there are two aspects to a manager. That's, you know, what they say behind closed doors, obviously, to the media, kind of how they go about the clubhouse and actually managing the personalities, managing the personalities behind the scenes part of being a manager, and then obviously how you construct your lineup every day. And I do think it's a very fair question, just in what you guys talked about earlier, the Jackson Merrill case. I think it's a very fair question with the way he's played and the quality of his at-bats. I think it definitely should be a consideration to move him up at least a little bit in that lineup. So I think the consistency for Mike Schilt, you know, I think we'll see it play out again. And I know no Padres fan wants to hear this, but it is early. It's 12 games in.
Oh, boy. You're
done. Okay, but look, the bottom line is that this team is relying on the same guys they relied a year ago. And you can do whatever you want with the lineup. You can do whatever you want. You know, you can say whatever you want. But the bottom line, and you guys know this too, is they will go as far as these big guys take them, right? This is still a team that is going to rely on the middle of that lineup to do some very, very special things throughout the course of a baseball season. So, you know, I don't know how much tinkering there is to be done. You guys made the point earlier. Look, Manny's going through a slump right now. Kim's going through a slump right now. Bogaerts has not hit the ball well these last six games. Runners in scoring position the last six games. We kind of, you know, said that was a great strength early on. Well, the last six games, they're now hitting 184 in those situations, and they haven't scored more than four runs in a week, right? And four out of the last six games have been just two run out to work on most days. So, again, I know that early word is something that everybody doesn't want to hear, and I totally get it. But I don't know how much day-to-day, at least offensively, you know, how much you can really do, because you're still relying on your stars to be stars. It was that way last year. It's this way. It's that way this year. You know, and look, I think to this point, I think Mike Schilt's done what you can expect of him, and that is be upbeat, positive, consistent. Now, you know, if things don't, you know, really head in a positive direction here soon, look, we're going to see, right? You know, what Mike Schilt does, what Mike Schilt says. I'm fascinated to see just the lineup itself. Okay, you know, is Mike Schilt a little bit more willing to shake things up, whether that be by what he says or the lineup, than let's say Bob Melvin was a year ago when it was a slow start? We don't have the answer to that question yet, but I do think it's an interesting aspect of what could transpire here in the first month.
Do we have the guns to do it? That's the thing I think everyone's wondering is you can put them wherever you want. Do we have if Kim's not hitting and he's in the five, why would you throw Manny anything he could hit knowing you have Kim on deck? Profar's actually been hitting well, but you take your chances as a pitcher with Jerks and Profar. And after Profar, Well, this is what I'm saying. Like, he's in the six hole. You take your chances really with any six hole. You know what I'm saying? Who is the guy that strikes fear into opposing pitchers right now? It's probably just Fernando Tatis Jr. And again, Jackson Merrill's off to a great start, but he's hit one home run. I can live with a single. I can live with a single, especially knowing that Xander's coming up after him, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, who strikes fear into this team? Do we have the guns to be a prolific offensive team? That's what I'm looking to see, you know? And we've paid a lot of money. There's been a lot of money spent.
I'm sure
spent.
Manny still strikes fear into the heart of opposing teams. But, like, Jorge Soler struck fear into my heart as a Padres fan, and he didn't do that much to damage the Padres necessarily, but he scares me when he's up the plate. Scares me, and the Padres don't don't have enough consistent power, I think, in their lineup. And is that something they can get from a Brandon Belt or a Tommy Pham? I'm not even sure if that is, if that's an option out there. Sam, I mean, I know Tommy Pham's still chomping at the bit. And I think someone tweeted like, hey, how long would it take Tommy to be ready if they signed him? And Tommy replied, tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll be ready tomorrow.
I'll be ready tomorrow. But I don't know that Tommy changes anything. If you put him in for Jurickson, you're replacing one of the guys who's actually producing with another guy. That doesn't change a lot.
Right. I think, again, and it sounds so simple and it sounds so basic, but again, when you look at this offense, you just can't look at the top six and say that's what is weighing this offense down. And what I mean by that is you can't have that scenario throughout stretches of this season, which is, you know, sort of what you've had here in the last week. I mean, let's be honest. The bottom third's been pretty good. Campusano is batting seventh on a lot of days. He's been good. You know, Wade's been pretty good. Merrill obviously has held his own offensively. He was great yesterday. The bottom third has not really been the issue again. And it just sounds like the most basic thing ever and the most obvious thing ever, but it's true. That top five and six, I mean, when you look at the guys that are supposed to carry this offense, they got to do it, and they cannot afford to have a lot of stretches collectively like they've had in the last week. And that's not just batting average and a lack of power. That's also runners in scoring position. And like yesterday, you know, just not cashing in on major opportunities. And that always goes up and down the lineup. So, yeah, it's the answers I don't think are very dissimilar to last year. The question is, can the answers end up appearing sooner than what they did last year?
Sammy Leavitt is with us, yeah.
Well, so, I mean, you're right, man, and I see a lot of anger directed, you know, towards the bottom and you know, these guys. I'm looking at a tweet one of the Dodgers writers just sent out. The bottom of the Dodgers lineup, James Outman, 34 WRC plus. Gavin Lux, 14. Kike Hernandez, 11 WRC plus, and Chris Taylor, 5. Those are four black holes in the Dodgers lineup. Well, guess what's happening? Mookie Betts is as hot as anybody has ever been. Shohei's starting to hit. Freddie Freeman's really good. Will Smith is really good. Max Muncy.
Their stars are carrying
their
them.
Stars are carrying their team, and that's how it's got to be here, and that's what is possible.
Yeah, you'd rather have Tyler Wade and even Jackson Merrill kind of go into a slump and trade it off for what Manny and Tatis can do at their best and Xander with some extra base hits. You just would. I'd love to see Jackson continue to play the way he's done and Campy continue to hit over 300, but you're only going to win games if those guys at the top of your order start hitting. And there's nothing that Mike Schilt or anyone else can really do necessarily to make it happen. It's baseball. And it either will or it won't.
Which is why you have no choice but to keep running them out there and hoping for a better result, and it sucks. It's the worst way to do it. I saw a guy tweet today, Kim and Manny better be benched today, and I went, what? What? How? How do you do that?
Unless they're tired and need a day off.
Correct.
They have to be in the lineup,
as
much as possible.
They got to be in the lineup every day.
Sam, good stuff.
Thank you, buddy.
We appreciate it. Have a good week of pre- and post-game shows starting with the Eco Water SoCal pregame show tonight at 5:40 for Game 1 against the Chicago Cubs. Sam, he'll get you all set for baseball tonight. Thank you, Sam.
All right, guys. Thanks so much. And note those start times.
Yeah, weird.
This series. Little bit different tomorrow and Wednesday.
Tell me.
Yeah, I
want to know.
6:40
tonight. Okay.
7:05.
Go.
3:40.